I don't know if it's that my family is naturally strategic-minded, and therefore we love incredibly complicated European board games, with which we have an enormous collection. When I say enormous, I mean enormous collection. Or if because we've spent years and years and years playing ridiculously complicated European board games, if that has made us more strategically minded. I don't know which direction that one goes. I'm going to say we're just naturally planners. And so when our kids started to become of age that we were considering their future and their education, we looked very carefully at what was available to us that we could make use of that would make their lives better. We planned it out very much the way one might plan out one's complicated strategy if you were playing, say, Settlers of Catan, which, by the way, is a great introductory game if you want to do crazy, complicated European games. And so we thought, well, you know, there's this great program that our high schools have called CCP. That means that you, if you have high schoolers who have decent grades and they get a good enough standardized score, they can start taking classes from one of our college options here in town instead of high school classes. And those college classes are free. If you carefully plan which classes your high schoolers take in the state of Ohio, there's a whole list of classes that the state guarantees will transfer to any state school. You will not lose a single credit when you choose one of those classes, and they have basic things, you know, English 1, World History 1, Introduction 2, then you name it, psychology, sociology, speech class, the basics. And that will therefore let your high schooler go to college with all these great college credits for free, and they can skip a year or even two of paying for college, and they count as high school credits. Don't know if you knew that. Just a public service announcement on my part. It's a great program. So we did this with our kids. We did this with my oldest daughter. We did this with my middle daughter. We did this with my son. Abby's a little young for college classes. It's coming, because she's going on 27, but very mature young lady is what I'm saying. However, as we started moving on and we were like, this is marvelous, they've got all of these free credits. Then my oldest daughter, we started looking at colleges. What colleges did she want to go to? What universities did she like? And so we began visiting universities, looking at all the fine print. We looked at one university and it was a good university, a great university, but super expensive. And none of her college credits would transfer because it was a private school. So we said, okay, not doing that one. So we looked at all these other colleges. And more than anything else, my daughter wanted a college that she could go to where she could then transfer straight into their graduate program without having to go from school to school. So it would be smooth and easy. So we had to narrow it down to universities that specifically the graduate program she wanted. And we had picked out and looked and thought and planned and planned. We were fairly certain that she was going to go to the Ohio State, which I thought would be kind of fun. Real experience. But being the planners that we are, we said we should always have some fallback options, some things that you can think about if you change your mind. And so we visited other universities. And then one day we went to visit the University of Akron in Akron, Ohio. And universally, all of us, myself and my daughter and just the family in general, sort of looked at the University of Akron and went, we've found the Goldilocks school. It's not too big. It's not too small. It's not too fancy. It's not too low-class. It's not too scary. It's not too easy. It's the Goldilocks University. They have beautiful dorms. They have great facilities. They have the programs we need. And lo and behold, that was the university that my oldest daughter went to, the university that my second daughter went to. It's the university that my son's looking at right now. It was our fallback school. that just happened to be the Goldilocks, the perfect school. It was not our plan. Our plan was a different school. It was sort of the fallback option, the one that we went with, because when the opportunity presented itself, it was a better idea. So we sort of planned to not be right, and then we were right in planning to have a backup. In life, I highly recommend this particular route. Plan carefully, but always know that there might very well be a time in your life where you go, time to use the backup plan. Always have a backup plan. Teach my kids this. Always have a backup plan. Have some security, have some savings. Be ready for life to throw you a curveball. Because when you have a backup plan, then you can shift. This is how we must do things as humans, because life is uncertain. Life changes. Life throws us curveballs. Life does things that we don't think it will do, and so we have to have plans inside of plans inside of plans. This is what we as humans do, but it's not what God does. It's very important that when we hear today's gospel text, that you understand that the importance of Jesus saying to his disciples, and it says in the Gospel of Mark here, and he told them plainly that he must go to Jerusalem to suffer, to be crucified, to die, and then to be resurrected. This is God's plan. It's not God's backup plan, and that's important to say. From the moment that Adam and Eve walked out of the Garden of Eden, it wasn't as though God looked at them as they walked out and went, I don't know what to do with these kids. I'm just going to have to play it by ear and see what happens. That's us as humans. As humans, we look at our kids and we go, okay, I think I know what they're going to do. Let me tell you what, kids have a way of zigging when you think they're going to zag. And you have some backup plans in place. It's not how God does. God looked at Adam and Eve as they walked out of the Garden of Eden and went, I know what to do. So when Jesus is born into this world, he is born with the express purpose that God Almighty knows that he is here to go to Jerusalem, to give his life, to die on the cross, and to be resurrected. That's the plan. It is the plan that God has had for humanity's salvation from the day that we walked out of the Garden of Eden. It was not the backup plan. It was not Jesus arrived in Jerusalem and went, okay, well, this will work. Let's try this. And the way that we know that this is not Jesus arriving in Jerusalem going, I don't know, I guess they're going to crucify me. Let's see what we can do with that, is that he explains to them here in the 8th chapter of the Gospel of Mark in detail what the plan is. That there's never been a different plan. And Peter, God love him, little strong-willed, kind of a planner himself, oftentimes has different plans in mind, says, Jesus, I think this is a terrible plan. Let's not do this. Surely not. Wouldn't it be better for you to be a living Savior? Wouldn't it be better for you not to be killed on a cross? And Jesus puts him in time out, just like I told the kids. He says, Satan, get behind me. It's kind of interesting. The word for Satan in Hebrew actually means the accuser or the adversary. Because, of course, that's Satan's role. He is the accusing adversary who tries to pull us off of God's path. So when Jesus says to Peter, Satan, get behind me, he's not just saying you're a bad person right now. He's saying you're being an accuser who is attempting to be an adversary to God's plans. You can time out, Peter. Things are going to be okay for Peter in the end. He winds up being the leader of the apostles. But for the moment, he's in trouble. Because Peter has this other idea in mind, and Jesus is like, look, God doesn't do backup plans. God doesn't do plan A, plan B, plan C, let's see what works. Because God knows what the outcome will be. God has a plan for humanity, and it is this, it is the cross. And he says, furthermore, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. So this is the plan. For everyone who comes after me, if they are willing to believe in me, carry the weight of knowing that they have been forgiven, which is no weight at all, to take upon themselves the knowledge that on the cross I have given myself wholly and completely for their sins, and that they are dead to this world now. They are no longer a part of this world because they are forgiven. They are now a part of the kingdom of heaven. If those who are willing to say, I'm changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ on the cross, then they will gain this incredible new life. Because that's been God's plan for us from day one. From day one that we walk out of the Garden of Eden, God says, I want my children back. I want my children to be back in a right relationship with me. I want my children to be back in a right relationship with one another. I want my children to be returned to a state of grace so that they might enter into my kingdom and be with me. God did not create humanity for himself in order that we might be divided from him. He created humanity for himself in order that we might be united with him. He did not make us to be alone. He did not make us to be separated. He made us to be a part of his life and a part of one another's lives. And the power of sin is the power to divide us from God and from each other. The power of the cross is the power to forgive us of our sin in order that we might no longer be divided from God the Father, but as we were always intended to be, reunited with God. Not just for now, but forever, for eternity. This was God's plan, not his backup plan, not his plan B, not his plan once he got to Jerusalem, let's see what happens, we're winging it. That's humans. Because let's be honest, a lot of the time our best plans are we're just winging it. We're just, you know, we started the game and we're not quite sure what our strategy is. We're going to see what our opponents do. And halfway through we go, well, that wasn't what I planned on doing at all, but I guess that's my strategy now. That's humanity because we don't know. God knows. God knows all, sees all, is aware of all, and has planned for all. From day one, God has said, my plan is to save my children. Bring them home, forgive them of their sins, and renew a right relationship with them. What do we have to do to receive that? Jesus is very clear. Receive the gift of the cross. This is it. This is all. There is nothing that you or I can do that will bring us into the kingdom of heaven except receive the gift that Christ has given us on the cross. So as we go through this season of Lent, it is mindful for us to know, important for us to know, a thing to consider, to meditate on during the season of Lent, and that is this. God made a plan for our salvation because we had chosen a broken path. God's plan for salvation places us on not just the better side of our broken path. God's plan for our salvation plants us on an entirely different path, on the path of the kingdom of heaven. It takes us out of this world and puts us into his world. It takes us out of sin and puts us into his grace. And this has been God's plan for you, me, and every other person out there on the face of the planet from the day that we left the Garden of Eden. What does it mean during the season of Lent to be those who look to the cross, to live under the shadow of the cross? It means to be those who live in the grace of Jesus Christ and to know that it was always God's plan to save us. Because God loves us, God cares for us, and God will save us from all our trials. Amen.